Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And it is the 6th. Yep. April.
6th of April.
Day after my birthday. My birthday was yesterday.
I know. Happy birthday. I mean, the I saw all the fanfare and the love and just the outright outpouring of gifts and just people love you.
Everything, you got everything right except the gifts part.
Did I say gifts? I meant gifts.
Oh, gifs.
Yeah, gifs. I meant gifs. 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 So I know that I heard that you're taking...
Well, by the way, you just came up with another new reason not to use the mispronunciation of gif.
Yeah.
This sounds like gift.
Right. Why is it GIF? Why is it not JIF?
It's because it stands for graphical interface format or something like that. Something like that. And it was developed for, I think, CompuServe. And it was and the guy who invented the format, that's what he called it.
Oh. I mean, we don't call a JPEG a GayPEG.
Well, some people do in San Francisco.
So tell me real quickly before we get into this, why are you taking a week off, an entire week off, for no agenda?
Adam's pooped.
He what?
Adam's pooped.
Oh, really? No.
Yeah.
He's just doing too many other shows is the problem.
Well, he's doing a lot of other, yes, he's doing a lot of this and that. But he took off. The two of them went on a little journey somewhere.
Yeah. I don't think they came down to Florida. They would have called me probably, but... Well, maybe they did. I don't know. But good for them. Nice. Enjoy yourself. All right. Let's talk about what's going on in the area of finance markets and all that. We have records broken.
And yeah, it's getting out of control.
Yeah, a lot of interesting things happening there. GameStop finally announced a secondary offering this week to everybody's, I don't know, surprise, but it's like, well, when are they going to do it already? When are they going to do it already? And they finally did it. Economic activities on fire, more records broken, records being smashed in historical measures. I mean, we saw the ISM services index come out this week, the highest level ever in recorded history.
Well, what does that tell us?
It tells us that the low interest rates, the reopening, the fact that there's incredible amounts of money pouring on everybody. I have heard over the last week, more discussion about the PPP program again. I thought that was kind of like over. Not over, over, but, you know, kind of like, all right, it's done. Anybody that wanted it would have gone and gotten it already. But no. It seems like there's another round, and they've made it a lot easier this time around. I was talking to someone who, I know the same guy, but a hairstylist got close to $25,000 in the PPP programs because he got the first one and the second one. And it was a matter of just filling out a few things on a website that facilitates the program. Easier than the first one. The first one, we helped some people out. It was a whole process, and you had to go to the banks, and you had to then go to the SBA and all. This is smooth. Just fill out a few things and sign a few things through DocuSign, and you get your money.
Is it a loan or a gift or a grant?
It's a loan. That turns into a forgivable loan if you meet all the criteria that's set forth. Otherwise, it's a low-interest loan. But generally speaking, those people have taken smaller amounts of money. The last time it was, I think, under $150,000, had a very easy time on the forgiveness application to submit to the SBA in order to just get the loan. And then that was not, if you remember, they changed the rules a little bit, not a taxable event in any manner.
Mm.
So you take all of that and people saying, okay, well, what do I got to do with it? Well, the hairstylist just has to pay his employees. Who are his employees? Well, himself. So he just pays himself and he gets essentially, if he does all this paperwork right, a free chunk of money on top of maybe unemployment that he received, possibly on top of the stimulus checks that he received, and on top of maybe there was one other grant that was given too. So anybody out there that maybe has not thought about PPP because maybe didn't qualify, of course, not if you're an employee, but if you own your own business, have an S corporation, have an LLC, I would go over and find some of these online places to go get your money. No reason not to. So that's going to help. Democrats don't seem to have the votes, though, for the big plan, the $2.2 trillion. However, there was some discussion from the parliamentarian of the Senate that said, you know what? It's okay. Don't worry. You can do this through reconciliation, thereby not needing the 60 votes in the Senate to pass this $2.2 trillion, just a simple majority. And we know how that goes.
Well, the Democrats are not getting a few people, at least two of them, that are kind of throwing their weight around saying, you know, I'll vote for it, David, because they need everyone's vote.
Right. Every single one.
So they can now, Joe Manchin is a good example. He's putting the screws to these guys for promises.
But we always assume that any deals these days are going to be totally party line. Do we have to assume that the stimulus is also going to be party line?
I'm sure. Yeah, it will end up being part at the end. If it gets passed, if two Democrats don't bail out or one, all it takes is one, actually, it will pass and it'll be along party lines in Kamala Harris. So what's going on more recently, Kamala Harris doesn't even need to come in because there's always one or two Republicans that don't even bother to show up. What's the point? So they don't need Harris to come in to break the tie.
Well, we'll have to see. I mean, it does look like they're talking about maybe not a 21 to 28% hike in the corporate tax, but possibly a minimum of 25%, which is still put a little bit of a crimp on corporate earnings. Some estimation.
But I think Manchin's one of the Democrats that doesn't want to.
He is. Yeah. He is. He said, why are we going to pump it up so high? You know, what they may do is something like a 25% and then calculate what the 4-year period is until the end of this administration and say, we're going to hike it up at that point. You know how that goes. You know, they always time it so that something bad happens on the back end. So,
yeah.
And there's an article, a new Substack essay, The Rules for Radicals Redux. Is it Redux or Redux?
I always thought it was Redux.
I always thought it was Redux too. I looked it up today just to find out, but Redux was, it's, I don't know. Kind of looks like a French word, R-E-D-U-X.
It's more of a word you look at in print and mispronounce probably in your brain. Yeah. Doesn't matter.
Well, we have a market update. We saw the jobs numbers come out.
You didn't finish your little tale.
We're not there yet. We're going to go through that. This is the opening salvo.
No, I'm talking about the tail of the article.
Well, go ahead.
It's an essay I wrote. You just wanted to mention. I wrote an essay at Substack, Dvorak.substack.com.
Yeah, I have a place marker for this talking about Saul Alinsky.
Saul Alinsky.
We're going to talk all about that. We'll talk all about that. I have a placeholder in the notes. All right. Monday jobs numbers hangover. So we saw, even though the markets were closed on Friday, they still announced. I didn't think they were going to do this, but they did. Usually when markets are closed, they wait for the next period for it to, like the next week, they hold it off. But they seem to want to get this jobs number out. So we saw 900,000 build on jobs, and we saw the unemployment rate drop to 6%. And everybody was just so happy about that, which good numbers. We saw actually some revisions to the past numbers as well. That was good. No complaints there. And markets said, hey, all good. So putting on some serious amounts of people coming back to the workforce. Of course, a lot of that was in the service industry, which relates back to why the ISM service index was so hot. Restaurants were opening.
That's what everybody's talking about, these numbers.
And what do you have a problem with them?
I don't. Yeah, I do. Because the restaurants are kind of, in some states, like Florida, Texas, South Dakota, these states that have been pretty much open, they don't have these issues. But I'm in California. I look around. You know, they're at 50% capacity of everything. Why are these numbers so high? It should be down a little bit, seems to me.
Well, some of it also is in anticipation of opening. I think your governor announced that, I think it was April 16th or something, everything's going to be fully open again. Just announced it today.
We'll see.
Of course,
the problem we have, unfortunately, for this governor who is worried sick, he's going to get recalled. Oh, we have the new double mutant.
I think it was a double triple backflip Lindsay mutant.
Well, the double mutant is a strain of the coronavirus that started here in the Bay Area.
Well, thank you very much. And what is that? That's the one that can go around the spikes or something?
It's a double mutant. What so there's just a term. They're just trying to scare people to death with double mutant.
So this is like the mask, double mask, maybe triple mask. Now it goes for a, we go for a mutant variant. Variant was one of the words. That was something that scared people. A
mutant scarier.
Yes, yeah, very much scarier. Because now you're like, oh, it's a mutation.
And a double mutant is double scary.
Oh, it's an ugly situation.
We'll see.
You know, my shot. I've remember that cough I had that I had to get the cough switch for that I had last year.
Yes, because you had a COVID cough.
Yeah, I had a COVID cough, even though it wasn't supposedly COVID at the time. It was February. I didn't get COVID till June or July, and then kind of after COVID, I had this every once in a while, like once a month, maybe I'd get a little bit of just like this cough reflex that I felt for, you know, at the latter part of the day.
Sure.
And then I got the shot, and of course I got that 101 fever, and I was achy and I was clammy and my arm hurt. I think the microchip did finally dissolve in my arm, so that's good. You know, that's kind of in there now. But I can't get rid of this cough, or at least this cough.
So you picked the cough up again, same cough?
Yeah, it's just not a cough like a deep cough, just a almost like a coughing reflex when I exhale too much or when I talk too much. So, it's thrilling.
Jill's probably happy about that.
Thrilled, thrilled. Every time I cough, I can't cough in the house. Oh my God, he has cancer. I can't, you know, so I gotta not cough.
You need a cough button in real time.
You know the story that I went to China one time, and in China they have part of the medical system is free. Variety of things are free. But one of the things that are free is free foot massages. Did you know that?
I've been to China a lot, and I've never had a free foot massage. Yep, I have no idea.
Free foot massage, but it's at one of these holistic places. And what you have to do is you go through that. But one of the requirements is that afterwards they have to do this kind of check of you. And what they do is they check your pulse, and they look at your tongue. I'm not kidding about this. This is not a joke here, okay? So we're all getting our foot massages, my friends and myself, and we got these foot massages. And then the people come around, and we know kind of what's going on here. They come around. And they come to me and they say, you know, there's a Chinese doctor or some kind of holistic doctor of sorts or medicine person and a translator because they didn't speak any English. So I say, well, okay, they'd like to check your pulse. Okay, fine. And they'd like you to stick out your tongue. They want to look at your tongue. So I do that. And the report that comes back immediately is you have liver problems. Okay. And Jill, oh my God, he's got liver problems. Oh, I knew it. I said, this is a joke. They want to sell me like Eye of Newt and Hair of Hog to put in my tea or something.
I'm sure of that.
That's all that was. She was all so upset. It was unbelievable.
You should go in there next time and have like a piece of beet or eat some beets.
Oh God.
So when you stick your tongue out,
right,
it's just this blood. Curly blood red.
Yeah.
I mean, beets are like this unbelievable dye.
Oh, it was unbelievable.
If you ever pickle an egg in like beet juice, or not beet juice, but let's say beets and vinegar, beet juice and vinegar.
Yeah. Pickled beets, pickled eggs.
The entire egg turns red inside. Mm-hmm. You know, normal pickled eggs are, you know, they look like they don't look any different, but this just the whole thing becomes this red product. So I'm sure on the tongue it'd be dynamite. I wonder what they'd say.
Yeah, that, you know, remember the old days when you went to the dentist, they made you chew on that red pill to see where the plaque was on your teeth?
Oh, that goes way back.
Yeah, way back. Have one of those.
Yeah, I vaguely remember that, yeah.
Actually, a story about that, if you don't mind another story, is that my mother had a terrible headache one night in the middle of the night. She reached over and grabbed 3 or 4 aspirin or whatever it was and ate those. In the morning, we got in the room and we thought somebody had hacksawed her because she actually ate 3 of those red pills and there was just red all over her face and all over the place.
Wow.
It was a good time.
What were you doing with the red pills at home?
My uncle is a dentist, so he gave it to us. So okay. And then you put it in your mouth and you'd brush wherever the red was and brush the red off.
Oh, yeah. Now that you bring it up, I remember it now.
Yep. So we had this great number for the jobs number, and the NASDAQ was up, flying really high. Of course, not up to an all-time high yet, but the S&P was up. The Dow Jones were up. All-time high, once again, smashing records. Small caps were up slightly. Crude oil, for some reason, down 6%. VIX was up, still sub 20. Really weird market condition. The 10-year yield went to 1.74, slipped back today to about 1.66. That's the key to be watching is the 10-year. That's what everybody's watching right now. So now there's plenty of reason to be bullish. We got rate priming. We got government spending and no alternative.
Free money.
So that's kind of what's going on. Follow-up from last week. And one more thing before we go onto this. For those of you that are listening to the recording right now, there is a live show that we do on Tuesday evenings where you can join in and talk on the chat room and listen live 9 o'clock. Go over to dhunplugged.com and check it out. And that's Tuesdays, 9 p.m. Eastern time. All right. Last week we talked about the hedge fund blow up. You know, there's been three hedge funds that have blown up this year.
I only know of two.
There's three. There was the one with GameStop, right? That one. There was a little one known one. I think it was in the UK.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, GameStop UK. One, yeah. And then this last one with this guy Huang, I believe his name was.
The office, whatever they call it. Office.
Arch Egos, as I call it. Credit Suisse has announced the departure of two of its senior executives and delayed.
Yeah, they got this Credit Suisse was not fast on their feet. That's for sure.
Well, they were totally undermined by Goldman and Morgan. Morgan knew about it because they did the $3 billion offering, the secondary for Viacom just a few days before. So they were in touch with the whole situation. They knew what was going on. They knew who the holders were. They knew the players. They were trying to offload this secondary. So they unloaded about $5 billion on a Thursday evening after the market closed. They were starting to already pump the stuff out. Then I guess Goldman, somebody maybe had a drink with one of the Goldman guys, and they talked about it, and Goldman unloaded mega billions and left these other guys holding the bag. What's interesting is that Credit Suisse took about a $5 billion loss. Deutsche Bank took a billion maybe. Nomura took a big amount. Over $10 billion of losses on this deal, which was only a $10 billion hedge fund.
Yeah.
So not only did the hedge fund go to zero, but there was loss of the banks of $10 billion. Crazy. And all that's happening now is the chief risk officer, Laura Warner, and Brian Chin, CEO of investments, they're both leaving. So, you know, if you're at Credit Suisse and you make, an extra $100,000 on top of whatever you're doing for the company, you probably get some $5 million bonus. You lose $10 billion, you're fired. That's it. Probably get to keep all your money. There's probably some contractual requirement.
No, you're not starving to death.
No.
It's not like you're being kicked to the curb.
I mean, you may be blackballed from the industry for a while. You probably start your own family
maybe
office.
Maybe not.
Yeah.
Do your own. What is it called again? Family office. What's it called?
Family office. Yeah, you start your own family office. Mm-hmm.
Well, they think that there's probably more than a few of these little operations out there that they don't even know how many because it's not transparent. It's like completely unregulated. Mm-hmm. There could be 100 of these family offices doing stuff like this.
It's not only family offices, it's also hedge funds. It's just
and the regular hedge funds. This is looking sketchy.
Yeah, there is an incredible, there's probably a lot more losses laying up. Some people in the chat room are talking about how there was like a $60 billion of total levered amounts out there. So, you know, obviously that whole thing went to zero. Losses are going to spread across a lot more. And it's going to take a long time for this whole thing to really flush out. But one of the things that I think is going to happen about this is now a lot of these banks and like the Goldman's, Morgan's, and, you know, look at the Merrill, they're going to start looking at their books and start maybe talking with each other and saying, hey, guys, you know, we got $10 billion or $5 billion, $2 billion out with this guy. Anybody else got something out with this guy? And try to pull it and find out if there's an overallotment of money. They basically dipped into all these different pockets to just leverage up the whole thing.
Yeah, it's quite creative.
And all these losses, the a lot of it was his own money, you know, the family money, and who knows who else he took in on this deal. But there's not going to be any criminal charges, just probably a slap on the wrist. And another, probably the securities industry. I don't even know if the SEC covers the family offices.
Well, he'll just open a new family office, probably. Start over. This guy is one of those characters who can make a lot of money, then lose it all, and make a lot of money and lose it all.
Yeah, we've seen it before. Fortunately, it was quote unquote only $10 or $20 billion. Economics, I told you the March ISM service index, 63.7 from a 9-month low of 55.3. And that was a lot of weather issues and all that was happening. So there's a record. What's interesting about this was that the estimates were 58.5. And I think we've talked about how analysts just don't stand a shot right now with all the wonkiness that's going on between weather and pandemics, or as the kids call it now, the panty. It's called a panty. Not called a pandemic anymore. So they don't have really the opportunity to get any reasonable numbers out because there's just so many cross currents going on here. You follow what I'm saying? It doesn't seem to be they're able to really do anything good when it comes to analysis of the economics or stocks.
Yeah, I've noticed.
The ISM manufacturing also came in to 64.7, which is the highest level since 1983 in December. Factory order slid a little bit. Pot stocks, interesting. Suddenly, this is kind of, I thought this was really weird from Schumer. He came out with a discussion through Politico where the Senate and he want to work towards legalization of marijuana on the federal level.
Yeah, this has been an undercurrent for at least 2 or 3 years.
What is he trying to do? It doesn't seem, is he getting a lot of money from the sector or what?
I mean, there's a lot of people pushing for this because it's so rampant, the legalization around the country, and the federal laws are preventing these same vendors from using the banking system, and it's hard to track their taxes. It's hurting the government income. I think there's a lot of reasons to do this. And the main reason is to get them into the banking system, which they're not allowed to play in. So they have to be a cash business. And I think it's just smart thing to do for that reason, not because they think marijuana should be legalized. I think, because it's becoming legalized and the federal laws are contradicting the state law.
And if you legalize it on a federal level and thereby allow for banking to happen, there's much more opportunity to tax it and track it.
That's exactly the reason.
Yeah.
No more skimming.
Right.
Get rid of that skimming.
GameStop announced that it's filed not necessarily a secondary. It's a little bit different than a secondary. Of course, they can't just go straight up with a secondary. They're doing what's called an at-the-market, an ATM, which is 3.5 million shares of their stock. From time to time, through an at-the-market equity offering, it tends to use the proceeds for accelerated transformation as well as for general corporate purposes and further strengthening of his balance sheet. So they said the timing of any sales will be determined by a variety of factors considered by the company. Stock was down like 14% on this news and then magically went positive for the day, then came back down about 4%. And it's interesting because now there's a lot of calls for, oh, GameStop, we know how we can really do this now. You do this, it's going to be about $1 billion or whatever the exact amount is. And, you know, why not invest it in Bitcoin? That's the rallying cry of the group now. Can you imagine if they did that? But I don't know. I'm not exactly sure. I guess they don't want to really. They could have just banged this out at $200 a share, whatever that would be. That would be $600-800 million. Just bang this out and just be done with it. I don't know why they're doing this whole at the market thing. Maybe they're thinking, you know what? They could really push this price higher so they could slow roll the whole thing if we get that Reddit group back on, or the hedge funds, the leverage, and, you know, we can get Roaring Kitty and all these people playing up again, maybe we can get a better price on the whole thing.
Well, that has to be their thinking, but you have to look at all this, and at the end of the day, you have to realize, or somebody does, that we're talking about GameStop.
Yes. That is an important consideration, isn't it? It's GameStop. What kind of transformation are they going to have? I mean, there's a lot of competition these days.
We watch these companies come and go, Computer Land, Business Land. You know, even there's all these companies. Blockbuster, yes.
I wish it was Panera Bread.
Yes, you do.
Yeah. Like I said, they're just really, you could see and read between the lines. There's a lot of, no pun intended here, but a lot of games being played by this company. And why they couldn't come out with this offering yet, but this will put some overhead on the stock. You would think that there's going to be leaking this out from time to time. They don't want to take a lot of time in doing this. That would be a real mistake.
I agree.
They should really just capitalize on this, you know, $200 per share.
Do it.
And just be done with it. Yeah. But we did get at the same time some preliminary sales performance from GameStop the same day they came out with this. So over the first 9 weeks of 2021, total global sales increased approximately 11% from the 9 week period ending April 4th, 2020. Now, I don't know about you. To say that the first 9 weeks of 2021, they only increased their sales by 11% from the period ending April 4th, 2020, when we had a lockdown and everybody was shut down, that doesn't seem like a big deal and a good number to me.
No, not when you do a year to year.
And then they had February. They had the four-week period ending February 27th. They saw global sales increase by 5.3%. And March, I don't know where they're coming up with these three, four, five-week periods. For the five-week period ending April 2nd, their sales increased 18% from the five-week period ending April 4th. So I think what they're trying to do is just cherry-pick and find where that sweet spot is, because maybe if they would have said for the four-week period ending this, or the two-and-a-half-week period.
No, that's obviously what they're doing. You wouldn't have these screwing five-week ideas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bitcoin has been moving. Actually, I'm going to check something right now, because I've been checking a couple of really interesting things lately. There's some stock, some coins outside of the Bitcoin only universe. Bitcoin now trading at 57,239. Ethereum hit an all-time high this week, right at about 2,100 and change. Kind of came back just ever so slightly. But I'm looking at some of the other ones that I track, like NEO. NEO's gone from 40 to 65 in the last 12 days.
Wow.
That's pretty substantial. And then some of these other smaller ones have moved as well. Let's look at Bitcoin Cash. Yeah, straight up went from 540 to 660 in 3 days. So let's see this one here. What is this crappy one? There's a couple other ones. Let's look at XRP. Yeah, look at this. Went from 60 cents to $1.10 in 3 days.
It's a good return.
Not too bad. And that's the one that they've pulled the plug on. Verge. Yeah, Verge is from 3 cents up to 5 cents. That's almost a double. I mean, this is, you know, Stellar. From 40 cents up to 58 cents in 2 days. So they're kind of going outside the range right now of just only that specific coin. But Bitcoin's in a consolidation pattern. We saw a lot of noise again about, you know, MicroStrategy and other companies potentially buying more. And once some of these guys are really getting under my skin. You know, you look at, for all their success and all the wonderful things they've done, lately they've kind of lost their head. Example, when Ethereum or ETH hits an all-time high, Mark Cuban comes out. He said on Twitter, hey, Ether hit a record and boasting, I have a very large ETH position. You know, what's the point? Is just all about, like, look at me constantly. Then he's into NFTs, of course, and anything the hot, you know, it's like the church of what's hot now. I guess they got the base. They could just move it all they want. But see, I wonder one of these days if the SEC is going to clip their wings.
I think that it should have just long overdue. What is the SEC thinking?
Yeah. Or some other FINRA or some other organization.
Yeah, there's another group. There's a lot of enforcement agencies that aren't enforcing.
No, they're not. People can say whatever they want. And there's some kind of loophole, not to mention the fact that if he does get fined, what's the fine anyway? He's got a $50,000 fine? Oh, well. Or he has his attorneys. Just, you know, hit back. Tesla came out with their numbers again. Another one on a Good Friday. Tesla delivered, happy Easter, by the way, 184,800 cars worldwide in the first quarter of 2021, up from 180,570 in the fourth quarter. So about 4,000 more cars. This is another record smashed here. There's word, and you look at the actual delivery numbers, that China played a very big part in this. There's other discussion from a lot of the bears out there about Tesla saying that they offered like a 20% cut in fees or costs in order to get to that level. But whatever it is, they did get the deliveries done. That's what they were looking for. And then today, we have an announcement on EVs also. The U.S. is considering increasing tax benefits for electric cars from $7,500 to $10,000, which really is continuing that pump on the EV side.
Yeah, let's keep things propped up.
Yep, EVs. Everybody's all into the whole EV thing. It's all EVs. Got to have an EV. Are you going to ever get one if it like something fancy?
Once they jack up the incentive to 15 grand, I might think about it.
That's a lot of money. That's a tax credit right off the top.
Yeah. And you also, the other advantage around here anyway, at least in California, is you get a special sticker. And so you can go breezing across the most of the bridges and one person can be in a carpool lane.
Oh, so wait, they, in California, you're allowed to go in the carpool lanes?
Yep.
Because it's less. Oh,
it's to incentivize people from away from the gas guzzler.
Right. Not only the gas guzzler, but the black smoke polluting, you know, because EVs have no footprint at all because they don't travel on any kind of power. It's just a levitation that moves them.
Yeah, it's all magic.
Microsoft, you know, last week we talked about that Snapchat was coming out with a new augmented reality glasses again, right? We talked about what's the point of this and all that. Well, this was big news. Microsoft is coming out with augmented reality, like a helmet kind of thing, the Halo lens. I call it weaponized augmented reality, which the initials just happen to be WAR.
Yeah, good one. Good nomenclature you've created there.
So the U.S. Army said Wednesday that Microsoft has won a contract. Listen to these numbers. These are shocking.
I know. I saw this story and I said, wow, these guys, who's working there that's closed this deal?
Yeah, this was a deal. This is, you know, caviar and champagne evening after this deal is closed. So the U.S. Army said last Wednesday that Microsoft has won a contract to build more custom HoloLens augmented reality headsets. The contract is for over 120,000 headsets that can be worth over $21 billion over 10 years. $21 billion. So they cost like $3,500. That's the standard issue, which enables people to see holograms overlaid over their actual environments and interact using hands and voice gestures. So this prototype, I saw some of it. You couldn't really see all of it because it's military grade, but it displayed a compass, a map of where you are, thermal imaging, kind of really cool thermal imaging, actually, where you could see people in the dark. But a lot of the thermal imaging that you see now lights you up a little bit, right? You know, there's like that green light that kicks back at you.
Yeah.
This doesn't, so the enemy can't see you. And also the system could actually show the aim for a weapon. So Microsoft is weaponizing augmented reality.
They finally got into the business.
Just a matter of time.
They got into the defense spending.
Remember they said they weren't going to do it? All these companies? Oh, we're not getting involved in any of this.
Yeah, and boom.
$21
billion. Well, in this case, we'll get involved. Yeah. It's for the good of them.
We'll test it out. We'll see what could happen. What could go wrong? NFTs are still in the news, obviously. One of the stocks that's making some waves right now is a company called Funko. Funko. F-N-K-O. They're the maker of the popular bobblehead-sized Pops figures. I think I wrote them one time.
I don't know anything about this.
They make bobbleheads.
Yeah.
So this is one of those companies like, think of a coffee delivery service that now announces they're getting into the blockchain. That's kind of what this is.
Because I definitely want my coffee on the blockchain.
Yeah. This is a bobblehead maker is deciding that they are going to get into the non-fungible token or NFT market. They announced last week that it acquired a majority stake in TokenWave, the developer of a mobile app and website called Tokenhead, which displays over 10 million NFTs and has more than 100,000 visitors per day. 10 million NFTs. There is no scarcity value in this anymore.
No, why would there be?
I don't know.
I watch these guys on the CNBC. You see these guys that are pushing this NFT nonsense, and they're dead serious about it.
Oh yeah. Well, they think they could do what you know. If you talk about it enough, there are guys that I follow which I can't stand. I got to unfollow these guys on Twitter. All they talk about all day is first they start with the motivational crap in the morning. Okay, then they're like, hey, you don't need to be working, just invest in Bitcoin. And throughout the day, everything is about Bitcoin, 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 all day. And how everything that happens is good news. Oh, Janet Yellen says there needs to be regulation. How great is that news? Like, what? How is that good news? You know, Bitcoin is down. That's great. Buying opportunity. Bitcoin is up. I'm not selling any. I mean, it's on and on and on throughout the whole day about it is not an investment. It's not about the money. It's about freedom. Bitcoin is freedom. I don't get it.
Yeah, there's nothing to get.
Yeah. So there's other stocks in the space that people could take a look at. One is this Funko, FNKO. And, you know, this is one of those, hey, ride the wave as it's happening. And I will share with you that for the game, I have one of those picks today. Not one of these. It's actually a different one. Not on this list. Other stocks in this is a TKAT. And a symbol OCG. So while it is ridiculous in my opinion, and why there's a lot of talk, the art galleries are talking about, oh, this is really, you know, we're going to digitize and, oh, the other word, we're going to decentralize art. Like, why would you do that? Why are we decentralizing art? I don't understand.
Well, because it's cool. It's something the kids are thinking about.
Decentralization.
I don't know. The whole thing is nuts.
Do you understand the decentralized discussion?
No, I do not.
You understand it, but you don't understand it.
I don't understand it. I understand it exists. It seems dumb, not paying attention to it.
Yeah. So we are a decentralized podcast, by the way, just to let you know.
Okay. Well, that's a plus.
Yeah.
I guess. Must be.
So there's a lot of money for EVs coming. President Joe Biden is prioritizing a national EV charging network under his $2.2 trillion infrastructure bill.
500,000 charging stations all across the country.
Yep, 500 by 2030. They announced that they're rolling out a $174 billion plan to spur the development and adoption of EVs that include money to retool factories and boost domestic supply of materials, tax incentives for EV buyers, and grant and incentive programs for charging infrastructure. They estimate that the $300 billion will need to be used to build out a global charging network to accommodate expected growth by 2030. Now, I find something interesting about this. You have a car, right?
I have a couple cars.
You have a house, right?
Yep, I do.
Do you have a garage?
I have a carport and a car. I have a garage up north, but I have no technical garage here.
But you have a place that your car goes. You have a driveway that you drive into somehow and you leave your car there overnight.
Yeah, I leave the car there.
Do you have a gas station pump right there?
No, I don't. I don't see any need for it.
Right. But much easier with an EV. You pull up, you plug in, right?
That's what you're supposed to do, yeah.
What we do with cars that are non-EV is we drive around our 300 miles, 200 miles, 400 miles, whatever your tank of gas gets. And somewhere along the way, you got to fill up, you stop, and you do it. Because you can't actually, if you have a half a tank, fill up when you're home at night.
No.
But you can do that with an EV. So why is there such a need for all these installations across the U.S.?
Well, it's for when you travel. You want to take the EV car and you want to drive to from San Francisco to Chicago. You're going to have to stop about, I think maybe five times to take get there at one of these stations. And you got to sit there for an hour. Or
where are you
longer.
Driving from? Where, tell me the distance again. Where are you going from?
San Francisco to Chicago.
But San Francisco to Chicago, you're not, unless you're going to run it straight. You're going to run it straight, you're going to stop over somewhere.
You'll be stopping.
So you stop and you fill up overnight.
Yeah, but you can drive, let's say that your range is 300 miles, which is pretty typical.
Right.
So you drive 300 miles, that you can get that done in, what, 5 hours? Mm-hmm. Six, you can drive 600 miles a day or longer. Easy.
How many people are doing this kind of travel where they're going 8 hours at a clip?
Well, it's that people drive from San Francisco to Los Angeles and those cars won't make it.
I get it. I just find the
and
whole...
nobody's going to stop to sleep.
Right. I get that. I'm just saying that you have one more fill-up point than you do with a gas station. And it seems that we're going to have one of these on every corner if they're going to spend, I don't know, $200 billion? Seems like a lot of money. And I don't
seems
recall...
Seems like way too much money.
I don't recall... Tell me if I'm wrong about this, but I don't recall the government funding all the gas stations ever, even in the beginning. Were they?
No, definitely not. Standard Oil did most of them. And Exxon, that wasn't Exxon at the time. Esso, I think.
Right. So private industry.
Yeah, private industry did it. Well, Tesla's putting up these things by themselves. They're not getting the, I mean, they probably got some government angle, but they've got them all over the place. There's one around here. There's a little supercharging operation over in a parking lot of a Chinese mall.
Point is, they're going to spend a lot of money because they have the ability to do so with the majority in the Senate and, or even in the Senate, and a majority in the House
they
and
do.
Just desiring to spend, right?
That's what they do. That's we've known this.
Yep.
Tax and spend.
Yep. So now a couple of stocks to look at. ChargePoint, CHPT, and Blink Charging, BLNK. They're going to be volatile, but interesting ones. If, in fact, there's going to be all this money coming out, there'll be other players that probably come into the market, not to mention all the scams. We got a few more things to talk about here. Yellen, in her testimony, this is kind of interesting. Janet Yellen is now, it seems to be, the Treasury Secretary of the world. She says, another consequence of the interconnected world has been a 30-year race to the bottom on corporate tax rates. Competitiveness is about more than how U.S.-headquartered companies fare against other companies in a global merger and acquisition bids. It's about making sure that governments have stable tax systems that raise sufficient revenue to invest in essential public goods and respond to crisis, and that all citizens fairly share the burden of financial government. So wait, is it my understanding that we are in a capitalistic country? Forget the world, just the U.S. You would agree with that, right?
Oh, yeah, so I'm not going to argue it.
And our Treasury Secretary is now saying that it's about making sure that governments have stable tax systems that raise sufficient revenue to invest in essential public goods and respond to crisis versus it's essential to have a capitalistic system that promotes the private enterprise to make sure that there is sufficient jobs and growth. And isn't this ass backwards?
Sounds like it to me. I think she's off the deep end.
She's definitely got something wrong. She says, we're working with the G20 nations to agree to a global minimum corporate tax rate that can stop the race to the bottom. Together, we can use a global minimum tax to make sure the global economy thrives based on the more level playing field in the taxation of multinational companies and spur innovation, growth, and prosperity. Something seems off.
She's a communist.
That is what a communist would say. That what she said is exactly what a socialist would say.
Communist, socialist, the same thing. We have to get over that distinction.
I mean, this is, well, socialism is more of an economic, as I see it, more economic. Communist is more of a governmental. But
well,
that doesn't mean
I would say the communist has a combined,
yeah, I agree,
economic, right, governmental, but the socialist, to get the economic stuff through, you have to be governmental. They just kind of cover it up.
I found this really disturbing when they're going to try to get together. And then you have more disturbing things happening. Did you see what My favorite guy there, you know. What's his name? Who is the head of the Republican senator? The lead senator, Mitch McConnell. You know, he said, you know, corporations better be very careful when they get involved in these matters, like what's going on with the voting issue, Coca-Cola, Texas, Georgia, right? He sternly warned companies not to get involved in social issues. Did you hear that?
No, I didn't, but it wouldn't surprise me.
Oh, he was adamant. You know, be warned. You get involved in this kind of stuff, there's going to be hell to pay. I don't know what is going on. Both sides are upside down. Republicans and Democrats, I mean, all of them are kind of like, they're just out of their minds.
They're out of control.
Yeah. There's a bullish commentary out there, a cautious stance by institutions that went parabolic in the last half of March. They added about $1.5 trillion in retail money market cash. In other words, a lot of money taken out, even though markets were kind of doing okay. A lot of money came out. Total cash on the sidelines, this is what you hear. This is one of the last-ditch efforts of the bullish commentary. You know, we hear all these different things that go on. One of the things you listen to is when somebody starts talking about cash on the sidelines. Some of that cash is permanent. Well, Tom Lee, who's always a bull. Oh, he's always a bull. Sometimes he's a super bull. Sometimes he is just a bull. But he's always looking for reasons why the market will go up. And even if it goes down, it's kind of like, hey, I think the market's going to go down, but that's going to be a buying opportunity. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Everything's a buying opportunity. Yeah.
Tons and tons of firepower's on the sidelines, which bodes well for April equity gains, said Lee. Which it may happen, but, you know, just whatever. We have a boycott alert. Boycott alert. The State Department on Tuesday said today, because it was considering a joint boycott with allies. I'm putting that word in italics. Allies of the 2022 Winter Olympics in Beijing.
Yeah.
They said it joint boycott. We'll certainly want to discuss, state spokesman Ned Price said, when asked about the Biden administration's plans ahead for the international games. A coordinated approach will not only be in our best interest, but in the interest of our allies and partners. Now, I am not sure about this, but the times you hear the word allies, what does it bring to mind?
It brings to mind the European Union folk. In other words, France, Great Britain, which is out of the EU now, but France, Germany, all those little countries in Spain, Portugal.
Yeah, and it also brings up World War II memories. Oh,
yes, it definitely brings a World War II vibe.
Yeah, that's what I am. World War II. I mean, and we're starting to talk about the allies. In other words, what they're trying to really position this is, clearly, not only a boycott of the 2022 Olympics for whatever reason, China gave us the virus, or we're really trying to put the screws to China from an economic standpoint, forgetting about the whole virus thing and the panty. But when we do this and we talk about the allies, it starts to look like more of a dislocation and kind of like, I start thinking, it's Russia, Venezuela, and China against us. That's what I start thinking. You know, when they bring these things up. And maybe throw Iran in there, I guess. Very sad.
Maybe. I mean, it's definitely something to consider in terms of how they're going to scope out who's the allies and who's not. What is it about Brazil? Do they come in or out? Poland?
Turkey.
All I remember is I'm pretty sure that in 1936, when they had the, and I'm pretty sure it was 36, people can check on this, when they had the Olympics in Berlin during the rise of the Nazis, nobody boycotted that. Why didn't they boycott that? It seemed to be an obvious thing to boycott.
Somebody was mentioning that the U.S. did not participate in the Moscow 1980 Olympics.
Yes, this is right. We had some other goodwill games or something that came after that. Some fake Olympics that we put together.
Fake Olympics, the goodwill games. I like that. Well, and then we're going to have supposedly the Olympics this summer in Japan, supposedly. But
supposedly
nobody's going to be able to attend.
Right. Yeah. So it'll be a TV event.
Right.
Made for TV Olympics.
Let's get to your essay for a moment, because I do want to talk about this. You have been writing quite regularly now. You're back to your writing. A lot of people really appreciate that. You're writing on Substack. And you had a recent essay about rules for radicals redux, about you talked about this Saul Alinsky. Yeah. And one of the things you talked about in that article, I'd like you to talk about other points about this, but one of the things you started, you said he was very conservative looking and quite serious with a slight pomposity bordering on arrogance. Now, how do you know, what is conservative looking? Is that a euphemism for
political party or anything?
So is he just...
I'm watching the Dick Cavett Show. This is from 1971. And conservatives back then had a distinctive look, very thin ties. They just look like a Bircher. He looked like a John Birch Society guy. That's a conservative looking guy.
Is it conservative in dress or is it conservative in party?
No, in dress.
In dress. He looked, gotcha.
And hair and everything.
He was
great. I thought he was just, he made nothing. Nobody could top him. He was the smartest guy in the room. He was unbelievable.
Okay.
And this is something I saw maybe a year or two ago, and it really stuck with me. And I eventually got around to doing this particular essay about the rules for radicals.
And the whole point was that you see this in action today. Some of the things that he wrote about, some of the things that he talked about, some of the things that he picked up on, and that you really are starting to recognize the traits that are being used that could be originated back to Alinsky, right?
I think a lot of it, yeah.
So where can people go to read all about this?
Oh, just go to Dvorak.substack.com.
Okay.
And you'll find me there.
All right.
Along with the other scoundrels that get published there.
Let's see if I can bring this up here. Let's see here. Okay. All right. So we have right now, live, going on, we have the GameStop close to the pin going on. You want to hear? You never gave me a price.
No, I bailed from it.
All right. Well, we have a range. Let me tell you the furthest away first of all, okay? It's currently trading at 184, 184.5 close today. The furthest away is 93% away. Somebody guessed $11.97. So
the guy who bid that, he has to know that we're talking about the actual price of the stock, not what the stock's worth.
Yeah.
Very simple mistake to make. In fact, he may be high insofar as what the stock is worth.
So,
but that's another game.
Or it could be the game being played by people who start off in the beginning of the Price is Right when they bid $1.
Yeah, and then you bid something else.
Yeah. Right. So the closest person is right now, as we stand here, Paul R., with a projected price of $182.14, about 1.28% away. Now, on average, the entry price, this says a lot here, even with the $11 on the bottom, because there's plenty of other people in there. The average entry price from all participants in this is $132. And this closes on the 9th, which is this Friday. I'm at $175.
So yeah, you're going to get closer to winning than they are.
I'm 5% away. So the close person right now is 1.28% away. I'm second, by the way, now that I look at it. I'm number two. And some of the old favorites like Matthew and a few others are in the top list here. Marcus, he's a top 10. Pretty good. Pretty good. All right. What do we got?
These guys have got a lot of skill.
Yep, they do. All right. Let's see here. Okay. Last thing on this from the outside the area commentary is a new survey, a new report, a new study that was done about the educational process during the pandemic. They're finding, this is not going to be a surprise, they're finding that after years of a year of school closings and distance learning amid the coronavirus crisis, more than half the public school K-12 teachers said the pandemic resulted in a significant loss of learning for students, both academically and from a social, emotional standpoint.
The country's not dumb enough.
Right. Yeah. Right. So data.
Let's ratchet it.
This is from Horace Mann. Data from the Center for Disease Control and Prevention also suggests that virtual learning might present more risks than in-person instruction related to a child and parental mental and emotional health and some health-supporting behaviors. I mean, there is this whole thing is brought up that old, you know, trade off of what's worse. Is it worse to be dead for a number of people or all the people, right? Screw the whole country up. And, you know, that's what's gone on. That's what happened in Florida. I believe DeSantis, you know, whether you like him or not, which I'm not the biggest fan of his, but okay. DeSantis made the choice of, hey, we are not going to sacrifice the many for the few, as raw and as disgusting as that is. That's what he did. That was his choice.
He still has lower per capita death rate, in Florida than New York, which is very strict, and New Jersey, which is very strict.
And Michigan, which has gone off the deep end.
Michigan's terrible. They're in bad shape.
Michigan went off the deep end again. They have a terrible new wave coming out.
Yeah. Yeah. Double mutant.
Oh, terrible. The double mutant.
So I'm actually kind of, I think DeSantis did took a risk, but I think it came out okay.
I agree. I mean, not to mention the vaccines are moving along. We dropped the vaccines, I think, to 16, and it's going to be everybody shortly. And, you know, obviously the economy is booming and everybody wants to come down here. Everybody wants to come.
Well, that's the drawback. He's ended up attracting way too many people to the state.
Correct. That's correct.
And there's all the amusement parks are closed.
Yeah. It's the housing down here is crazy. Things come up, they go out, you know, very easily. Every restaurant is packed. Go down Las Olas. I mean, especially because it's spring break right now. Down the beach, go to Miami, forget about it. I'm not going anywhere near those places. It's crazy getting in and out of there.
Yeah.
This is a game that we play. It's not a solicitation to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any kind. Nothing on the show should be considered investment advice or a recommendation. If you choose to invest in any of the stocks mentioned, you should know that it may carry risk, along with the risk of a loss of principal. You should also seek out professional financial advice for your particular situation. We assume no risk as these are not to be considered recommendations. Horowitz Company, myself, or John C. Dvorak may invest in any of the securities mentioned and will disclose that on the website under the weekly stock picks section. You can go to dhunplugged.com and see all the names we discuss in the segment along with the performance information from the date discussed as well as any additional important disclosures.
Where does that whistle come from that's in there all of a sudden?
Me.
Is that you doing it?
That's me. Yeah, it's me just throwing that in there.
Huh.
I'll get rid of it.
No, it's fine. it's kind of jarring.
Yeah. Sorry.
That's okay.
So you didn't like the list when you were looking at it before the show.
Well, we got a lot of red from January, February, March in the last few weeks. So that's always a bad sign. It means that something's up. I do have one green. GameStop short. It's the only one in the group.
There you go.
Everything else is falling knives. Things haven't switched back. I do have I don't know why Babcock and Wilcox hasn't gone up.
1 week. What do you expect? It's been 1 week in a market that's just churning.
Well, because everything's going up.
And last week, I mean, there was definitely a couple of good days in there, but yes, I'll give you that. I mean, Discovery, CBS, Viacom started to come up today. Discovery's up 4%. Finally, they talk about that. Maybe there's some level of exhaustion in the selling at this point. Maybe it's all done. We'll see. But maybe. Our top, our older ones continue to plow. I mean, Trane Tech up 87%, U.S. Global Jets up 53%.
Yeah.
Your banks up 50, 60, 70%.
All the banks, yeah.
I don't know why PetMed Express isn't doing better. That one's a little bit of a surprise to me, especially when we saw the Chewy numbers come out last week. And the ETF Alternative Harvest Fund, the marijuana. With the discussion about legalization in New York and all, it just seems like there's some, you know, a lot of expectation. You know, here's the deal. How about this? We both could agree with this. Things have moved up a little too quickly, generally speaking.
Yeah, it could be.
I have one for the list this week. You have any?
Yeah, I do have one. I'm going to go long on MSC, which is Studio City International Holdings.
MSC.
It's a resort casino operation out of Hong Kong. This is one of those charts I like. It's a downward wedge. I love the downward wedge.
Downward wedge. Got it. That's a JCD pick.
Looks like it's like consolidating. It should pop.
MSC.
Or collapse.
Studio
one of the two,
City International
I'm
Holdings.
Go with pop.
Okay. I'm going to pick up MUDS, M-U-D-S, which is the Mudrick Capital Acquisition. It's a SPAC. But here's the interesting thing. And I told you it was related to NFTs, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's a SPAC that's been sitting out there kind of just wasting away, not doing anything till they found that acquisition. Well, the acquisition was named today. Topps trading cards.
Oh, that's a great idea.
So we know that the market for trading cards has been pretty hot. There's some issues in the system with trading cards with some of the...
I think the Tom Brady rookie card just auctioned off for $2.2 million or something along those lines.
And then there's... They do trading cards, but there was something else that they do. It's interesting, but... somebody else is
going to plunge into tokens.
Michael Eisner, the former CEO of Disney, is involved in this. And they're going to get involved in NFTs, I believe.
Oh, so they're going to give us the digital versions of Mickey.
Yep. Babe Ruth and Yogi Berra.
Yeah, okay, yeah. It's okay.
Ty Cobb and Tom
Cruise. They all gravitate to scammers.
Yeah.
You can't stop it.
Yep. So this is theoretically going to change the world through NFT playing cards, which means you can't flip them and toss them and do all the good things you used to do. But who knows who's doing that? But you also have other playing cards too, and they may start getting into that market. So I just thought it was an interesting idea. It was up 16%.
Oh, it's going to skyrocket.
On the announcement, and everybody gets the rhythm that this NFT, which is total horseshit in my opinion. It's all about just the trade though. You know how that goes.
Yeah.
So
I do.
There we go. Let me mark all this up. And I think we are done for the evening.
All right. Well, I hope things level off a little bit. So our picks aren't all red at the bottom.
They're
green at the top and red at the bottom. It's like some sort of a mixed drink.
I don't know what I'm going to do this week without the No Agenda show in my ear.
Listen to the specials. We got the one coming up Thursday is going to be dynamite.
I'm listening. I will definitely listen. Check out No Agenda. Not this week live, but every week live on Thursdays and on Sundays, 12 p.m. Rain or shine. Well, excited this week, but rain or shine. And listen to this Disciplined Investor. We have some great guests on over the last several weeks that I think you'll really enjoy. So listen there. I'll see you again next week, buddy.
Sounds good. All right.
Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, cause I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.